The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey everyone, it's Billy Morrison and Ozzy Osbourne here. Our new show, The Madhouse Chronicles, is dropping this April. Join us as we watch and react to the maddest internet clips. What do we discuss, Ozzy?
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, all that kind of shit.
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, and all that kinds of shit. Visit osbournemediahouse.com for early access. What do you say? Do you think it's the wildest show on the internet?
Oh.
You're in the madhouse now.
Are you ready? It's time for your weekly dose of Wayne's Comics.
Happy New Year for 2014. You're listening to the Wayne's Comics Podcast, and in fact, it's episode 114. I've got a great interview with Pete Casaza, the manager of the Big Planet Comics store in College Park, Maryland, which is a great place to check out what's happening on the front lines of comics. We talk about a lot of comics and a lot of what's going on in the industry, and he surprises me with some of the things that are going on. So I'm sure you're going to want to listen. There's a lot to get to, so let's get on with the show. Welcome back to the podcast. Pete Casaza from Big Planet Comics in College Park, Maryland, one of the premier comic stores in the Washington, D.C. area. How are you doing today, Pete?
Oh, pretty good, Wayne.
Good. Why don't we go ahead and start off 2014 by looking back at 2013. What was the year like for you and your store?
It was a pretty good year. It was about the same sales-wise as 2012, which was a good year, was an up year. Just about the same. It was a little slower in the store, but I did more conventions this year, and conventions were really strong for us. I sold a lot of product, met a lot of new people, did some really good outreach. So that was a good thing for this year, definitely.
I'm kind of interested by that because conventions and stuff are starting to become like hubs where a lot of comics people meet other people. And so you were at Baltimore?
We set up at AwesomeCon, which was last year, was its first year in Washington, D.C., and it was, like, literally right in our backyard. It's, like, 6 miles from two of our stores. So we felt we had to do it, and it was a great experience. Just fun, interesting, lots of people in costume, lots of people just fun, excited just to hang out. We had such a good time. We did a couple more shows, like Baltimore and some of the smaller one-day shows. We did the Baltimore Book Fair also. And it was a great experience because we hadn't done shows in quite a few years, and it was very positive all around, and we got to introduce ourselves to people. We got to move some stock that had been sitting in the store for a while. And plus we had some new stuff that people really liked. So overall, it was a really good experience for us.
So you're looking forward to doing more of that in 2014.
Definitely. Yeah. We've already committed to AwesomeCon again this April in 2014. And we'll most likely do Baltimore again, maybe throw in a few more shows this year.
Very good. The cons I've been to, and of course, doing a podcast, I'm endlessly looking for people to talk with. So when I go, I carry a boatload of cards with me, you know, business cards to make it look like I'm a real person, and then I hand them out to folks. And that's a lot of the times that's how I've gotten people on the show is to go that way.
That's great.
But as far as the store went, you're saying it was pretty level with 2012. And that was a pretty good year. So do you think that this is going to kind of continue for the future, that we're going to see things pretty much on this level for a while?
You know, a lot of other stores across the country are saying they've been up. They've had a really good year. New comic sales here were down just slightly, but trade books and other stuff, especially non-comic stuff, did really well for us this year. So I think we're reaching a more diverse crowd. I don't know. I feel like personally we're losing a few people to digital. That's why our news comic sales are down a little bit. But we have a nice environment. We're creating, you know, I did some more advertising this year and some outreach, gave away a lot of free comics this year. And we have a more diverse product selection than we've ever had before. And definitely in December anyway, that definitely won us some points. A lot of people came here looking for gifts and we did really well helping them find gifts for people.
Interesting. Now, you're located next to the University of Maryland, so you've got a wider variety of readers, probably. A regular comic store might be in the middle of a town, and you know certain people are likely to go there, but you don't get a diverse group so much. But you guys have a community that's very different from probably many comic stores.
Yeah, definitely. This is a very transitional place where we get people who are here for school or jobs for like 2, 4, or 6 years, but then move out of the area. So our clientele is constantly turning over. So we do have some people who have been here like 20 years or more, but most of our customers, you know, they're here, they shop their regulars for like 5, 6 years, and then they move out of the area. So we definitely see a lot of turnover, and it's hard to build that really huge core base that a lot of stores get. But at the upside, that there are a lot of people who come here just for a couple of months, and they do find us, and they have a really good time when they're here. So. Yeah, it's definitely a challenging and rewarding environment here. It's definitely different than just being, you know, a small comic store in a sleepy little town, that's for sure.
Yeah. Now, as far as the comics of 2013, looking back on it, why don't we go by company, because that's always a good way to do it. As far as Marvel went, what were the big successes of 2013 in your store?
Definitely Marvel Now did well. Thor and All New X-Men were phenomenal sellers for us. Ultimate Spider-Man continued to do very well. Hawkeye just came out of nowhere and was just huge. It's really fun and different. A lot of stuff, you know, Avengers, you know, did decently. Uncanny Avengers really held up strong throughout the entire year. So it was a good year for Marvel, definitely.
Okay, now the one comic you didn't mention I'm fascinated about is Superior Spider-Man. How did that one do?
It's hilarious because people come in all the time complaining about they don't like the direction, they don't like how mean it is, but they keep buying it. They're addicted to it. They can't stop buying it. So, you know, it's one of those things that everybody loves Peter Parker, but the stuff they're doing with Doc Ock and his body is just great. It's really strong writing. It's really, you know, strong sales throughout the year. But, yeah, it's funny because people complain about it. They want, when's Peter Parker coming back? I want this. I want that. I'm tired of this. Blah, blah, blah. But they keep buying it every month. So it's hilarious.
Well, the thing that I always tell people this, and I might be the only one who thinks this way, but it just creeps me out to think of this old guy in a young guy's body making passes like at Mary Jane and stuff. That just so creeps me out, and I guess I'm the only one because I find I'm the only one saying that.
Well, they didn't stick with that very long. You know, he's moved on to a few other love interests and series, and things have gotten very badly for him. In some ways, he's very successful. He's everything Peter Parker was, and he's been very successful. In other ways, all his personal relationships are disintegrating right in front of him. So it's kind of a hilarious, you know, juxtaposition of, or, you know, opposite of what Peter Parker's like. Like, because, you know, nothing ever works out for Peter, but he's got a lot of friends who care very deeply about him. It seems to be the opposite for Doc Ock.
Interesting. Now, of course, my prediction is that when we get near to Amazing Spider-Man 2, we will suddenly find Peter Parker back in his own body. Because if people go to the movies and then they go to the store and they discover it's Dr. Octopus in Peter Parker's body, they're going to go, what?
Yeah, I think definitely we've all seen that coming. That definitely, and there have been hints, repeated hints at it from Marvel, that in the next couple of months there will be kind of a reversal, whether there's Peter Parker and Doc Ock both running around. I don't know. We'll see how that works. But definitely something's coming.
Because that'll really creep me out if that happens. we'll find out. But it's so interesting to me. I see a lot of people who credit Dan Slott with the writing of it, and yet you're right. They don't give the book the same amount of credit that they do to Dan Slott, the writer who came up with this whole concept.
Yeah, everybody gets upset about how mean-spirited it is and how harsh it is, but it's Doc Ock, so it would be his sensibility. But yet then they're put off by it or creeped out or, you know, threatened by it, but yet they keep buying it.
Well, that's the thing. You know, maybe some people have collector's runs that they got to make sure they have every issue, so they're going about that route, especially since it's a new book. I mean, it started with number one recently, so kind of interesting. What issue are they up to these days? They're up to, what, 26?
22, 26, something 22, like that. 20, something in the 20s now. Right. Yes. They've done, you know, it's been that way for just over a year now. So they've been churning out, for the most part, 2 issues a month. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Well, that'll make up for any other books. They used to have, what, 3 or 4 a month with Spider-Man, and now they've gone back to 2. But if they're selling well, you know, that all the more money for Marvel.
Yeah, definitely, yeah. The Superior Spider-Man definitely is one of their best sellers, without doubt.
Interesting. Now, I remember you really liked All New X-Men.
Mm-hmm. I did, yeah.
And you're still into it?
I do. I think it's getting a little long in the tooth, and they've tried to change it up lately. And it's still pretty good, but I think, you know, they need to wrap that up sometime in the next year, in 2014. It's been good. I've enjoyed it, but I can't see it lasting forever.
Well, they gave them new costumes recently. And
yeah, they're supposed to do something with Jean Grey, with the trial of Jean Grey. Aliens find out she's alive, or she's, you know, the young version of her is there, so they come to put her on trial for destroying a galaxy. So, I don't know. It'll be interesting.
Yeah, I guess since I'm a science fiction guy, I watch these two people, the same people talking to another, and I expect an explosion or something because, you know, all this time travel stuff is supposed to go. I keep sitting there going, no, that can't be. But, you know, hey, it's comics. You can do whatever you want in a comic.
Yeah, especially Marvel's taking advantage of that. They definitely, they've even acknowledged that their timeline is completely messed up now and everything's crazy there, but they don't care. They're telling good stories, and that's all they care about.
Well, also, they got people buying the thing, so that's really
sure. Yep.
Now, you mentioned also Hawkeye, which is actually my favorite of the Marvel books. It's actually beating out Wade's Daredevil, which they're restarting, and Indestructible Hulk. But as far as Hawkeye goes, I guess that's selling very well, too.
Oh, yeah, tremendous. We sell more. That's our best-selling Marvel trade this year, those volumes 1 and 2, Hawkeye, by a factor of 10. I mean, we sell 10 times more of those than we sell any other Marvel book, that's for sure. The issues, we only sell about 40 copies or 50 copies of the issues a month, but those trade books, they just keep selling.
Do you think that people are waiting for the trade to buy?
Some are, definitely, yeah. Some definitely only come in every few months, and then we have our regulars who come in to get every issue, and some buy both, but some wind up giving the trade book away as gifts, so that definitely helps, too.
See, this book always puzzles me, and I do read it, but I find it funny that people, you know, this is basically his home life, which is a wreck. You know, it's a total dismantling of everything, and yet he's a superhero. He occasionally gets into stuff, but most of the time it's about his dog or about his girlfriend or
others. The neighborhood.
Yeah. All this stuff's going on, and it's like, I was like, you know, the best way to make Hawkeye a success is don't make him Hawkeye, which I find funny. You know, but it's interesting, too, that also, of course, we'll get to DC in a minute, but that Green Arrow was doing very well, too. But as people keep telling me now, the Archers are really hitting the mark on here, you know, pun intended, for that. And, you know, I guess as long as Hawkeye does well and it's an interesting take on it, they do put some action in there every once in a while, which I appreciate because, you know, I tend to buy comics for interesting stories and plots, and to watch him, you know, watch the dog desert Hawk, you know, Clint Barton. That's not what I get a comic for. I mean, it's nice to see the change in there, but so I'm glad to hear that Hawkeye's doing well. I think that'll probably stay that way for at least several years to come, is my feeling.
Hopefully, yeah. It's definitely different for Marvel, especially. So, you know, I appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
It's always good when they come out with something different.
Any other Marvel books that deserve a mention? Was there one that surprised you this year?
No, just the ones we talked about I thought were all really good. The rest of the line I thought is fine, but nothing's really, you know, I kind of like Guardians of the Galaxy, but it hasn't sold particularly well for us. It's done okay, but not, I thought there would be much more hype about it, but I guess people aren't sure yet. So there's been a few other books that, you know, the art in Hulk, you like Indestructible Hulk. They've had some great art in that book. You know, Captain Marvel, that's decent. That's been fun. Again, slightly different, not your normal fare, so that's been doing well for us. Yeah, I think that's, you know.
Okay. Well, Daryl Marvel it's bucking every month. I cry to see there every month it's slightly different between Marvel and DC, and I actually am glad for that because I think the industry will be better if Marvel just isn't blowing the doors out of every other company. If you've got DC up there fighting them, you're encouraging like Image is going on. All these other companies are ratcheting up to try and get in the game, and I think that's much better for the whole industry. So I'm really happy. You know, there are some people who love that Marvel was just month after month it just cleaned everybody else's clocks. But I'm much happier to have more diversity and have everybody trying to bring in good stuff than just Marvel.
Definitely. Image is honestly my favorite company this year. They, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, they ruled 2013. They're just Saga, East of West, Lazarus, you know, these are just great books that came out of nowhere. We weren't sure how they were going to be. They seemed interesting, and it just took off. I mean, in our store in D.C., they actually sell a few more copies of Saga than they do of Batman now.
Wow.
So that's
interesting.
Unheard of because it appeals to so many people, and it's different. You know, you get men and women, young and old, all interested in Saga. So and it's good. It's different, and it's just doing really well. And it's something that's easy. This nice thing about the Image books is that you almost always, their first trade book is $10. So you get the first five or six issues for $10. It's an easy sell. I mean, with regular comic issues being $3 or $4, it's a slam dunk sale, and it's great material. So we sell the heck out of it, along with, you know, Walking Dead and all the other books that Marvel Image does. So, no, it's been great for us.
Well, what's the book that came, is it Jupiter?
Jupiter's Legacy.
Yeah, Jupiter's Legacy, that's the one. How's that been doing? It started off with a big bang.
The first three issues did well, but now we're waiting for issue four, and, you know, Mark Miller, it's always late. They're always late getting some of those issues, so I have people come in every week and say, hey, when the heck is issue four going to come out? I really like this series, and I really want to read more of it. Like, I don't know, they keep moving the date. Not quite done yet. Mm-hmm.
See, I hate to tell you, but this is still a habitual medium. People go to the store or go online, and they expect, you know, after a couple of months, some of us start to forget the titles that we haven't
Absolutely.
Seen in a while.
There's 100 new issues a week. There's between 75 and 100 new issues a week. So, yeah, if you don't come out in 8 or 12 weeks, people aren't going to forget you.
Mm-hmm. Well, I liked Brain Boy a lot.
Oh, yeah. That was a good one, too.
Yeah. Now, I always forget, is that Dark Horse or Image?
I believe that's Image.
Okay. Well, if it isn't,
Dark Horse, actually. Yeah, you're right. It's
Dark Horse. Okay. Yep. Well, that gives me a perfect segue into Dark Horse then. Let's talk about Dark Horse and how they're doing. How are their products selling at your store?
Pretty well. I mean, they had a tough couple of years. They lost some of their licenses. Things changed over, but their Star Wars books have been really good and selling really well. They've come out with original material like Brain Boy and some other stuff that's done well. They've come out with a few books that have done okay for us. But, you know, they're gaining. They're definitely picking up. I would think that 2012 was kind of a weaker year for them. And I think 2013, from my point of view, has been much better for them. They've come up with a lot of new books that have been really good and have really got traction. I mean, they often come up with interesting stuff, but there's stuff that's actually staying steady. You know, Black Beetle came out last year, and that did great. It still sells. They've got new issues coming. This Grindhouse thing they were doing was interesting and different. They put out a lot of horror books and manga. They're getting back into some more manga they're doing. So, yeah, things seem really good for them.
Well, I've got to ask because there's one of the books that they do is one of my favorites is Captain Midnight, I think it is. Mm-hmm. And it's written by Joshua Williamson, who writes a lot of the books that I really like these days. Is that book doing well, or is that kind of in the fair to middling range? How's that doing?
It's getting a lot of praise, and people who read it really dig it, but it's a tough sell in this store, that's for sure. I sell less than probably 10 copies a month, so that's pretty low. So.
Yeah. So I'm sorry to hear that because I like the book a lot. It's the way I think Captain America, if we were starting Captain America today, this would be how we would do it. It's a very good story. The art's great. He's got to fight people from the past. He actually goes into the future. And I like the way it's done real well. Joshua Williamson is able to do a lot of things well, and this is one of the ones that I really enjoy. So
yeah, I read the first couple. Really I haven't kept with it. I'll have to pick them up again. It sounds pretty good.
Yeah, I like it real well. It's only about 4 or 5 issues out so far, so it's not like it's moved tremendously far. But I like that book a lot, so I enjoy that. Why don't we talk about Valiant? Because Valiant's making a big push, and they're trying to get their books in there. They are, you know, they're going to cons. They're really promoting their wares. And so how are the Valiant books selling at your store?
It's funny because I like the company a lot. I think they're doing all the right things, but the issues don't sell as much as I'd like them to sell. We sell, you know, maybe 10 copies of each of their titles, which is good, and they're very steady, so it's a reliable number, so I know how to order them. But they're trying a lot of events. They did some the Harbinger Wars and the Unity, and they're trying to really bring new people in and boost sales, and it just hasn't worked for us. People check them out, but it's the same, you know, number one, we'll sell 20 copies, then it falls back to that 10 number, 8 or 10 copies a month. So it really hasn't broken out to new people. There's definitely a core of people really enjoying them, but it's not putting up the kind of numbers you would hope.
Let's see, they've got big name writers in there. They've got Matt Kent. They've got Fred Van Lente. They've got Robert Venditti, and they've got all these big names doing stuff. And I shudder to think if they didn't have those people, how Valiant would be doing.
Yeah, it's hard to say. I mean, because I don't know if, you know, I mean, relaunching those titles has certainly brought them people, but I don't know if it may be hobbling them. You know, if they did something completely original with original characters and with some of these great writers and artists they have, maybe that would help. I don't know, but it definitely feels like they've fallen into, you know, a rut of people who are willing to look at their books.
You know? Well, how has their group book, Unity, been doing?
It was okay. Not great. It was decent, but not awesome. Like, it was supposed to bring all these people in and bring all these new readers, and it didn't really do that at all for us. I didn't think it was one of their strongest offerings, and it really didn't bring anyone new to them at all.
I'm sorry to hear that, because I'd like to see those books do well. I enjoy Archer and Armstrong. I enjoy Unity as well. I also like Exo Manowar. That is such a great book in the sense that here's this guy from the past, and he wants to take over the country, the land that he wanted to, but when he was living in the past. And so all this World War-ish type stuff is going on. I like that. I think that's very different. I'm not used to that stuff in comics, so I like that.
No, it's definitely different, and I appreciate that. They're definitely telling different stories, but, I mean, there's the Image books, for whatever reason, are getting a lot more traction than, like, the Image new books, and some of them are good and some of them aren't, but more people are willing to try those right out of the gate than are willing to try the Valiant books right away. So I don't know if it's a culture thing. I don't know if it's an Image that's been around and really pushing hard. I don't know what it is, but at least around here, we can't get enough people to try it.
It's too bad, because that's another company I think. There are several companies I really like, and that's one of them. I really want that to succeed and to move forward, but I don't know why some people have the notion that an older character is dull. You know, these were all, you're right, you're saying about how these were in the past, and they're basically resurrected, these characters.
Yeah.
But you know what? They're telling good stories, and I keep shoving them into people's hands, and they kind of look at it and go, well, this is an old character. I don't care about that. And I'm like, well, come on. A story's a story. If you like a story, you're going to want to read this. So.
Yeah, but people have limited budgets, and, they'd rather save their money for Spider-Man and Batman than, I mean, Image seems to be the one exception. People will try pretty much any new Image product for an issue or two. The other stuff, though, people are just like, if I don't know I'm going to like it already, I'm reluctant to try it. I just don't have the money to try too many things.
Well, I hope that changes, because there's a lot of stuff out there I think that deserves a good chance. Now, speaking of that, there's a book that came out. I'm surprised that we're actually going to discuss this company. It's Archie and Red Circle.
Yeah.
You know, this has been a really significant year for them. I always chided them about the fact that they were basically just doing standard stuff. And then, of course, they started doing very different stuff, and I still chided them on that. You know, the Archie Afterlife.
Mm-hmm.
And also the Fox, which I've really come to enjoy. That is just unlike any other book that out there. How are those kinds of books doing at your store?
Great. Yeah, I can't keep the Fox in stock. I keep selling out of it repeatedly. And same with Archie Afterlife. It's hit a chord. I mean, it's decent. It's a really good book, and they've done some interesting stuff with it, and people have really checked it out. So, yeah, their Archie regular titles have been pretty consistent for, you know, 10 or 15 years, but this is definitely getting your readers involved, so
that's great.
Yeah.
Afterlife with Archie is serious zombie science fiction. That's the thing that, you know, when Archie would do these things before, they would kind of, you know, like interject zombies in the middle of the regular Archie life, you know, and it would be sort of silly. And, you know, same thing with the superheroes. The superheroes were always kind of childlike heroes and stuff. But what they've really done is taking the genres and embraced them and actually done things, you know, great with them. Because Afterlife with Archie, man, that baby, there's so many people reading it and buying it. And a lot of stores I go to, they just don't have it anymore because they've sold through.
Yeah, same with the Fox. I mean, I got what I saw was a healthy amount of the Fox. Sold out of them right away, kept getting more, and I keep selling out. It's definitely a supply issue, so it's definitely selling the heck out of it.
I'm so happy to hear that because I enjoy that book. You know, Dean Haspiel does a great job on that. Wade's providing the dialogue. And I guess it's a good thing that Wade's name is attached to it because that kind of gets a little more than maybe – and nothing against Dean Haspiel. I think he does a wonderful job. But, you know, Wade's name is a good name to have associated with your comic. And he does do dialogue extremely well. The thing about the Fox that I enjoy is that he's kind of a normal average guy, but he's in these really outrageous situations and having to figure his way out of them. Which I like. So I hope the Fox goes on forever. My hope is that they're going to actually start putting out – they've got the Shield in the back. I'm hoping they're going to actually start putting out more superhero comics based on the Fox.
I hope so. I mean, I think the Connecticut energy of the issue is great. The artwork is just so Connecticut, so lively. That really helps a lot. If they can do more superhero stuff like that, yeah, I think there's definitely a market for it.
Great. Now, how does IDW do at your store these days?
They're another one that's pretty consistent. Their stuff is, you know, decent. It definitely has its following. You know, it's pretty easy to order their numbers. They tend to change up their, like, Transformers and G.I. Joe titles on a regular basis, which I don't know that's always a good thing. But Green Hornet, all that stuff sells consistently. So, and they try new stuff. They're another one that I like Image, is that they try new stuff. You know, four issues, six issues, they'll horror, science fiction, they'll just throw it out there and see what sticks. So they're great at trying new stuff. And people are receptive to checking it out. So.
Now, you mentioned Green Hornet. If I'm not mistaken, I think that's in Dynamite.
Oh, Dynamite, I'm sorry. Yeah,
that's okay. Well, IDW does do a lot of good things. But of course, that makes me want to know how Dynamite is selling. My understanding is Dynamite has kind of a core group that really likes Dynamite a lot, and that core group tends to come back every month, but it's kind of like other companies that there's a great devoted following, but they're not as big as some of the other companies.
Yeah, I mean, their numbers aren't huge, but they are fairly consistent. People like the characters, and they want to see what they're doing, and so their books usually do really well for us, like for the first four or five issues. And then people like satisfy that nostalgia or that interest. They scratch that itch, so to speak. And then the sales tend to fall off a little bit. So they tend to do a lot of variant covers. And some people are really into that, really works for people. And then some people, that doesn't do anything for them. So they do really well at shows and conventions and covers. And their books sell fine for us. But, you know, stuff like The Shadow, that does King's Watch is something else that's done well, but not huge numbers, but decent. You know, they're definitely putting up, you know, all those guys, all the non-Marvel and DC publishers, I think, do pretty consistent numbers, and their books are all relatively even. The only one that breaks out of that big time is Image. You know, Saga and a few other of their books, Walking Dead obviously, sell huge numbers that they're competitive, really competitive with Marvel and DC. And all their other books do pretty well, but not dramatically better than, like, IDW and Dynamite and Dark Horse and all that stuff. I mean, Dark Horse has a few major hits. Some of these other guys will have a few major hits, but overall across their whole line, if you count up all the total issues sold, they don't really compare to Marvel and DC. Image is the only one that comes a little bit close.
One last thing about Dynamite, just because it's a personal favorite of mine. You may not remember off the top of your head. There was the Owl miniseries that was done by J.T. Krull. How did that miniseries do? Was that fair?
It was okay.
Good?
Yeah, it was okay. It's, you know, I always like when smaller publishers do non-superhero stuff because it's easier to reach people. People buy a lot of superhero stuff, so if you're trying to reach new people, non-superhero stuff is the easier way to do it. If it's a nostalgic character, sure. Like The Shadow, sure. I mean, that'll work. But if it's a guy like the Owl who's basically a Batman clone, you know, that's not really going to capture a lot of people. And it was fine. But the thing about Dynamite especially, I think if their artwork was better consistently in a lot of their books, they might have better sales. But it's like people read it for three or four issues, like, oh, this is fun. And then they kind of move on to something else.
Okay, well, let's get to the last company I think that we should be talking about, and that's DC, of course. I mean, DC had 2013 was, I think, a good year for DC, just like 2012 was. we're getting, when I see the numbers come out, DC and Marvel sort of competitive many months, and sometimes they're not, but sometimes Batman is number one, and sometimes other ones are, you know, if Marvel has miniseries going on, it'll knock Batman out of the top spot. But overall, I think that, you know, granted they've lost a lot of titles. They keep canceling a bunch and putting new ones in, so it's hard to keep track of what, you know, what books they're selling right now. But now, how did DC do overall at your place of business?
It was a good year. It was definitely good. I mean, the books have slipped. You know, when they came out in 2011 with the New 52, I mean, sales were just crazy high. I mean, unbelievably high. And they've fallen dramatically, especially in the last few months. But Batman still does really well. The new Superman book, Superman Unchained, I think is the best Superman book out there. And Superman Wonder Woman is doing well. Batman and Superman is decent. So a lot of their newer books they've launched have done very well. Earth 2 is one that launched later in the New 52 wave that's done consistently well. So yeah, the Justice League stuff, Forever Evil, I think is great. It's really fun, selling very well. So yeah, they've definitely had some really good sellers in the top 10 or 20, but as a whole line, I think their books have suffered a bit. I mean, the Vertigo books have done very well and some really good stories, but a lot of their average superhero books, like Catwoman numbers are terrible, and Birds of Prey is not selling well at all for us. Wonder Woman is a standout. Wonder Woman has been very, very consistent and a great, great story. So they've gotten a few hits, definitely some, you know, the core 10 or 20 titles that are very good and sell very well, but the rest of their line has definitely suffered.
I wonder what they could do to turn that around. I mean, they're putting in more books that star those core heroes a lot more, and they're putting that kind of stuff out. And then, of course, they got Batman Eternal coming out this year, which is going to be a weekly Batman. And there's supposed to be another weekly coming, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, so they talked about in June, I think. In June or September, there's supposed to be some more weekly stuff they're doing, like 1 year later or 5 year later or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. How are you with weekly comics? Do you like weekly comics? Do you prefer not to do that, rather have a monthly? What's your take on that?
You know, last time DC did that stuff, it worked out really well. I was surprised how well it worked out. They had, what was it, 52 and then Trinity and some other thing. They had three of them. And they did pretty well. I was pretty surprised how well they did, because generally weekly comics are not a good idea. Even bi-weekly sometimes it really throws people off. But they work well, so I'm curious to see how it does. It's tough for us ordering because we don't know how to order, and we don't have time to get feedback because you get issue a week. So this takes you, you know, 6 weeks to get enough feedback to figure out where your number should be on a series. But it gets people interested. It definitely gets attention, and some of them are really decent. So now that, you know, if the story and art are strong enough, they will sell.
How did Wednesday Comics do for you guys? It was kind of like a Sunday comic setup that they would put out on Wednesday.
We liked it a lot. The art was fantastic. The stories were great. The format definitely threw some people off, but we liked it a lot. But it wasn't a huge sell. I mean, we sold a fair number of them, but I heard from DC that they didn't really make a lot of money on that. And it's the project they'd like to do again, but, you know, they need to find another format that they can make some more money on it.
Yeah, I'm sorry to hear that, because I enjoyed those. I'm sure collectors looked at that and held their nose when they looked at it, because it's on newsprint. You know, you can't collect newsprint.
It doesn't fold right. I don't know what to do. Yeah, it definitely the format definitely threw some of the collectors off. That's for sure.
And not only that, it's going to yellow. Give it a little while.
Yeah. And people, they did a really nice hardcover in the material that we love, and we sold a bunch of. But again, it's a large size hardcover. It doesn't fit on my shelf. I don't know what I do with it. I'm like, come on, it's great. You know, comics people are funny people sometimes.
I never understand. See, I buy them to read the great stories. That I don't care what size it is. I mean, like, for example, Mouse Guard is an off size. You know, and Boom Studios we didn't talk about, but they have some good stuff out as well. But, you know, the Mouse Guard to me is just this odd-sized book that everybody buys. And, of course, when you stick it all in your bag, that stands out different way. No matter where you put it in there with the other books, it's not going to fit exactly right. But I love the stories, and I love the art. And, you know, I think sometimes when you do something like that, you make your book stand out. And I think that's what David Peterson's done with that.
Like I said, comic people are funny people. You know, they got to go in a bag and board, and they got to go in their box. You know, they got to fit on the bookcase, and it's got to look the same as everything else. You know, I don't know.
Okay. Well, a couple of quick topics let's go into. If I understand you correctly, you said that the graphic novels did better this year. in sales?
They did for us, yeah. I mean, it might just be us, but we did much stronger. I mean, new comics is, you know, the majority of our business, probably two-thirds of our business, but we didn't sell as many this year as we sold last year. But
really?
Trade books were a little stronger for us. Hardcovers came back a little bit for us and other things. So people were willing to spend a little bit more money for a nice format. So, yeah, it was definitely a different year than last year.
Now, as we talked a little bit before we started to record about the fact that recently the news came out that Marvel was not going to sell individual issues of their comics to, like, say, Books a Million or Borders or things like that. And there's a lot of people, according to Marvel, they said they haven't been doing this for actually like 3 months, and nobody seems to have noticed until all of a sudden now. Well, what's your take on this whole business?
I don't think it's that big of a deal, really, honestly. Almost all their print sales are through the direct market or through comic book stores, and their numbers are huge. And I've heard, like, people like Dan Slott have talked about that his Spider-Man books sell just as many print versions as digital comics. So they're selling on their Tough Talk apparently a lot of digital versions. So the newsstands, they have to deal with returnability. And I don't know how many people really, they're never well stocked, you know. The person who works at Borders or, you know, Barnes & Noble or Hastings or wherever cares about comics, then the section's pretty well stocked and well maintained. But if they don't, there's nobody there who really cares about comics, then it's a mess. So most hardcore comic people really go to comic stores to get their stuff or get them digitally or subscribe directly or whatever. So, you know, I don't think it's that much of a sale for them, and I don't think it's really a big deal. I mean, if you live in a small town that doesn't have a comic store or any place that doesn't have a comic store and the Barnes & Noble is the only place you can get physical comics, sure, that puts you in kind of a tough spot. But the total number of sales they do through the bookstore, I don't think is very high. Plus, they get returns on the unsold product. So I don't really think, you know, some people online are making a huge, like, oh, my God, this is the end. This is the end. I'm like, really? I think it's a really, really small segment of the market. Maybe 10%, I don't know, I'm guessing, but maybe 10% of the market, 15%. So, yeah, I mean, they sell almost all their physical issues through stores, through comic stores.
Yeah. And, you know, the industry is changing. I mean, you know, when the trades first came out, they never sold trade paperbacks before, and I was just convinced that was the end of life as we knew it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people are not – and it's true, some people wait for the trades, but other people still go to the stores for singles. But it's just interesting. Now, you have mentioned one thing that I did want to – the last thing I wanted to talk with you about. You were mentioning that it's possible you've seen some drop-off due to digital comics buying. Do you have any, I mean, do people actually tell you that they're doing that?
Some
or is this something
sure.
Doing?
Some people come in and say, yeah, I now buy all my Marvel and DCs online digitally.
Really?
You know, I just don't have to come in. They come in for image and ideally, you know, the small stuff to sample and really, really small press stuff to check out and look to see what's on our shelves. It's different, but oh, yeah. No, we're at a university, so we have most of our people are, you know, 16 to 29. So, and more and more of them are getting iPads or, you know, Nexus pads or tablets of any sort. So it's just natural for them to read their comics. It's convenient. It's easy. You know, the Kindle Fire, I mean, you just download automatically overnight. You wake up in the morning, you got your whole new comics to read.
Wow.
So, I mean, definitely it's drawing some people off. Whether it's, you know, 1% or 10%, I can't say, you know. People are busy. They travel and it's convenient. So they'll still come in, but they won't buy as much. Or, you know, they'll still, you know, read comics, but they won't, you know, pick up paper versions as much. So, you know, it's hard to say. You know, other stores are saying they haven't seen any fall off or that digital's growing and print's growing for them. And I can believe that. I totally believe that. Everybody knows digital's growing. And I don't know that's hurting as much, but my personal view is it's definitely affecting some of our sales because most stores said new comic sales were up for them across the country. Mine were flat to down just slightly. So, and I think for us, for whatever reason, definitely part of that is definitely digital.
So you've definitely noticed an uptick from, say, 2012 to 2013.
Yeah, I mean, tons of my customers have tried digital, and then, you know, they tell me they're starting to take some digital stuff, and then I start seeing them less and less. So, I know it's happening. You know, like I said, I don't know what percentage or whether sometimes they move out of the area or they change jobs or they're unemployed for a while or whatever, but digital is definitely part of it.
Yeah. Well, let's put on your forecasting hat for a minute. How do you think 2014 is going to go? What are you looking forward to in the next year?
I think it's going to go great. I'm hoping it's going to go great. I'd love to see, you know, Image and Dark Horse continue to gain readers and bring out new products that are exciting and interesting. And Archie, I mean, if Archie can put out exciting comics, I mean, everybody else should be. I want to see continued improvement in quality of comics and consistency of, you know, actually meeting your ship dates and stuff like that. The more media there is, you know, the more movies that do well, the more TV shows that do well, the just raises awareness about comics and gets more people in stores. So, yeah, I'm positive.
I always say that every movie and every TV show is a commercial for comic books. You've got Arrow, which is doing very well. You've got Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., not so well, but, you know, it's still Marvel. It's got Marvel in the name of the show, for heaven's sakes.
Yeah, and it raises awareness. You know, people who don't go to comic stores see these things and they think about them, and when they're looking for people that for gifts for people or want to try something new and different. I mean, I've had tons of kids in the last year who say, I've never actually really read a comic. I want to start reading comics. What should I read? You know, comics are really interesting that people who weren't, you know, used to that as a kid or younger or whatever, they were everything with video and digital, and they're like, oh, this is really something different. And they're coming through the first time in their teens and early 20s. So it's great. It's not, I'm not doom and gloom in the end of the world. But it's definitely a changing environment. You're definitely reaching people in a different way and different things. They come in looking for different things. So now I'm positive. I can't wait. I have no idea what 2014 is going to bring. one thing 2013 told me was I can't predict the future. And maybe in the past I could to a certain degree. Recently, not at all. So things have been very up and down and different. So I'm just going to sit back, play it cautious, and see what happens.
Keep riding the roller coaster as it goes along.
Yeah, it's every 2 weeks has been a very different roller coaster, so I've just been belting in and riding along.
See, what I'm sorry is that people don't go to your stores because you guys can make great suggestions for stuff. If you buy it digitally, you're probably going to buy a lot less, and you may not get as good stuff, you know, because you don't have people to interact with to tell you good stuff. But your folks that work at your store are always giving good suggestions. To me, I get a lot of great suggestions, and there's a lot of books that I continue to read that you guys have suggested to me. So I always encourage people to do that.
Yeah, I mean, that's how we survive. You know, that's how we compete with the digital environment. If people don't know what they're looking for, they don't know exactly what they want. They come in, they ask us questions. I mean, I can't tell you how many people we've introduced to Saga, East of West, and Lazarus. I mean, those are titles that people hadn't heard of, and they come in here and like, check this out, it's great. And they come back, they're like, you're right, that was great. That was awesome and very different. So, you know, that's how we survive.
Well, I think that's an important function that a comic store will do, is that it will let people talk amongst themselves and decide what's good. And I just don't think you're going to get that on a tablet.
No, I definitely don't.
Yeah. Well, why don't you give us the vital statistics on your store and how people can interact with you and stop by and maybe even order stuff digitally or go to your website and things like that.
Sure. My store is Big Planet Comics in College Park, Maryland. The phone number is 301-699-0498, and we're on the web. We have a website, bigplanetcomics.com, and we're on Facebook, Big Planet Comics, and then Big Planet Comics College Park. I recently posted a few pictures. If you want to interact, send us a message, like us, check out our website. We put interesting things on the website. We try to on a regular basis. We have a podcast, Big Planet Comics. We're on iTunes and all the other stuff out there. You can get to it from our website, too. And we've got 4 stores in the Washington, D.C. area, so we are very into comics, that's for sure.
You guys have a wide variety of things, too, comics-related stuff. And, you know, like the owl mask I saw there, and then you've a
Dr.
number
Ruth's
of
been great. I can't tell you how many sonic screwdrivers I've sold in the last 6 weeks. It's been great. It's been hilarious and awesome.
Wow. So what do you think of the new doctor?
Good. I'm glad they didn't go young again. I was getting tired of the young guys. And the special they did, the Day of the Doctor, I thought was a great explanation, too. So
yeah.
I'm really excited to have an older, different guy doing it. So I'm looking forward to it.
Okay. Well, much success, Pete, and good talking with you as always. We'll talk with you again in the future. And you guys are on Route 1 in College Park, if
we
I
are,
remember.
Yes.
I don't remember the street address.
Right
anyway,
up 95.
Yeah, I just hope that people will stop by and actually check out the place and get some good recommendations. So, well, you know, I hope you have a great 2014, and we'll talk with you again sometime in the near future, Pete.
Absolutely, Wayne. It's always a pleasure to talk to you.
People need dramatic examples to shake them out of apathy, and I can't do that as Bruce Wayne. As a man, from flesh and blood, I can be ignored, I can be destroyed, but as a symbol.
Get the latest from the comics universe. News, interviews, previews, and reviews. Listen to the weekly Wayne's Comics Podcast so you can keep reading your comics.
I wanted to make sure and know that my best of 2013 list is in my final Comics Portal column at majorspoilers.com for 2013. If you want to see what I liked, you can check it out and find out what things I thought were best for 2013. There's been a lot of discussion about it, and I like diversity in opinion, so it doesn't bother me if somebody doesn't agree with what I've said. So give it a look and see what you think. And that's a wrap for the first episode of 2014. I hope you have a great new year. Be back next week for the next episode. But until then, keep reading your comics.
This is justice.
No, I am justice.
Batman.
You boys might want to find another career. Say hi to Gotham PD for me. Have a nice night.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
You love podcasts. The stories, the laughs, the unexpected turns. But when this episode ends, the silence starts. Not anymore. Audiobooks.com turns that silence into your next great adventure. With over 450,000 titles, from bestsellers to hidden gems, your love for listening just found its new best friend. And because you already know the joy of audio, we're giving you 3 free audiobooks to start your journey. Imagine your favorite podcast, now with unlimited episodes. That's audiobooks.com. Keep the story going. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcast-free today. Because for podcast lovers like you, the end of an episode is just the beginning. That's audiobooks.com/podcast-free.